absorbs nutrients like phosphate, nitrate, and it uses that, you know, to fuel its growth. So you get good algae growth out of it. So that can help keep nuisance algae down in the aquarium. And it can also help just in general by keeping your nutrients low.
What's up, reef fanatics? Welcome to another Coral Reef Talk podcast here on the channel. I am joined once again, as always, Levi Peterson, the oddball reefer.
What's up? Things are going good. How about yourself?
Things are going pretty good now. I had a bout of like blue-green algae, a little bit of cyano, you know, pop up, but that's taken care of. So
nice.
But yeah, today, in today's episode, we are talking about algae filtration and different ways to use algae in your reef tank. And before, we've talked about green hair algae and nuisance algaes that can create problems in your reef tank. But today we're going to be talking about algae that is good for your reef tank and kind of makes things a little bit easier, wouldn't you say, Levi?
Yeah, definitely. I would have to agree with that.
So there's a couple different methods when it comes to algae filtration, and we're going to touch on each one a little bit. But I mean, what is the overall idea of this, Levi? Like using algae as a filtration media in your reef tank, what is it doing? What are we looking at?
Yeah, so basically it's going to be absorbing a lot of your nutrients. It absorbs nutrients like phosphate, nitrate, and it uses that, you know, to fuel its growth. So you get good algae growth out of it. But if you're keeping it in a refugium or like a scrubber or reactor, a lot of that algae and nutrient absorbing algae grows in that specific spot instead of your reef tank. So that can help keep nuisance algae down in the aquarium. And it can also help just in general by keeping your nutrients lower.
Yeah, for sure. And so one of the big questions is, how do we mimic the natural environment of the ocean? How do we keep our reef tanks stable? And you may first look at like a protein skimmer, right? Or even heaters, you're going to keep the temperature stable. And those are like pieces of equipment that are often tied in with a reef tank. And not very often, or at least not a lot of people, may think of using algae in a specific way to help keep their reef tanks going and to help them to be stable. But if you have a reef tank, like you're talking about, where you have a like a sump underneath or an area to keep a refugium, you're going to keep something like Cato morpha algae in there, or Cato algae. And Cato, I don't know what your preference is on how you say that, but I believe it's said Cato, and I've looked it up before. I go with Cato, so you can blast us in the comments for Cato versus Chato. But a common algae that you're going to keep down in a sump would be Cato. And like you said, you're growing that algae in the sump, and that helps like keep the nuisance algae out of your main display, mm-hmm. because that's using the nitrates, the phosphates in your tank. It's absorbing that, it's photosynthesizing, it's producing oxygen, and that's growing versus the nuisance algaes.
Definitely.
So that's the main benefit of using a sump or using algae down in your sump to grow that versus having it in your display. And a lot of what we're talking about today, there's a great article in the most recent post or recent issue online right now as of filming this of Reef Hobbyist magazine. It's called The Clean Green Filtration Machines, and it's by Jim Aldenberg, and he writes about all of this. So we kind of read that. It's some great information, so feel free to go check that article out. It's pretty awesome. I just want to thank our channel sponsor for the podcast, and that is Printed Reef. Printed Reef is providing 3D printed solutions for your reef aquarium. And they do that by providing things like the sand stand and these coral holders and even mushroom cages like this. And they have many more products to offer you over at printedreef.com. And if you're a subscriber to the Coral Reef Talk, you can go over to printedreef.com/thecoralreeftalk and use the discount code to save 10% off your purchase. So you can use the code The Coral Reef Talk at checkout, and that is going to save you 10% off of your Printed Reef products. The link and the discount code will be down in the description below or the show notes here on the podcasting platform. If you're watching this on the video podcast, you'll be able to see the products that I'm holding up right now. If you're listening, check out the show notes for more information. What's other ways that you can use algae in your tank or around your tank?
So yeah, a couple other ways are going to be like an algae reactor. I know many people that have used those. It's a reactor with a light probe through the middle of the reactor. Some people leave it on, you know, like opposite of what your regular light schedule is. So they have it running like throughout the night. And basically all that's going to do is just kind of, yeah, right here, it's going to keep all that algae in that specific reactor. Then you're just going to have to empty it and clean it out every so often just to like let more grow. But a lot of people run opposite schedules because when things are photosynthesizing in your aquarium, it's removing CO2, creating more pH, like it's raising your pH and keeping your pH rather stable. And if you didn't have one of these, I definitely recommend getting something similar or even and run it off schedule just to kind of help keep your pH a little more elevated throughout the night.
Yeah, that's a big plus of it because it's producing oxygen and photosynthesizing. So that is keeping that pH more elevated. So it's keeping it stable. When your main display tank lights are off, your sump lights or your algae filtration, your Pax Bellum unit here, the light is on and it's growing. And the thing about the algae reactors is if you don't want like a huge clump of algae, like down in a sump, like maybe that's not the look you're going for, then an algae reactor works great and they're nice and sleek in their design and the way that they look. So I know a lot of people want to make their aquariums super like clean all the way around, right? So they want the design of it to look clean. They want each and every aspect of it to look clean. And so algae reactors are a great way to do it. And so this is utilizing macroalgae to grow. And what's fascinating is there's many different types out on the market. So you have like the Santa Monica filters right here. So these utilize the same principle, right? You have the light on the inside. You have algae that's going to grow. This is more of a turf algae scrubber that we're going to get into, but you have different kind of filter reactors. This is a turf scrubber that floats on top of your water and it grows algae in it. So this is going to be the microalgae like turf algae versus the macroalgae like the Cato, which is going to grow. And so that's the third type of thing that we're talking about. So you have a sump or you can have an algae reactor or you can have an algae turf scrubber. An algae turf scrubber is something that you utilize on your tank, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I use the CW50 on my Caribbean tank. It works really well. I've had some struggles with it in the past, you know, just from it leaking, but it was just a simple issue that I had just to resolve. It was pretty simple. And other than that, I mean, it runs amazing. It does its job. I run it usually opposite schedule, you know, of my light schedule. Just, you know, try to keep that pH raised and also just keep removing nutrients. I know some people that run them 24/7, but I don't really entirely recommend that. I mean, you can, it's not going to really hurt you too much. Mm-hmm. Cause I mean, all it's going to be doing is removing nutrients, but if you run it your opposite schedule of your lights, it will help maintain your pH. So that's definitely a benefit of having one of these things. But yeah, the turf scrubber is really easy. I just pretty much turn off the pump, unscrew it, clean it off like once a week usually, and you're good to go. It just keeps growing algae. Gets all that nasty, you know, the turf algae, the hair algae, and all that good stuff growing elsewhere instead of your reef aquarium. So it keeps all that kind of in its own little area, and it's removing nutrients while it's gone. So, I mean, can't go wrong.
Yeah, and the turf algae scrubbers, they kind of look like this. Yep. This is the clear water scrubber, similar to what you have going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I believe Ice Cap has one as well. There's many different companies that has them, but basically the lights are enclosed, right? And there's a screen, like a mesh screen on the inside.
Yep.
So that is growing your algae, your turf algae on it. And then every once in a while you scrape it off, put it back in.
Yep.
And you're good to go. And like you said, you want that on an opposite light cycle from your main display. And that'll really help out a lot. We got a lot more to talk about algae turf scrubbers in just a moment, but you have something really cool to talk about. Segment. Yes, the scientific segment. So take us through this. What do you got?
So this is a button coral. It's a really common coral in the hobby. It's not the cheapest coral in the hobby by far. Usually going to run you about like $200 on average for a red one, specifically just like the one you're seeing right now. Cinerania maracamalis, the button coral. Super unique. It's super cool. It comes from deeper water. Super unique. I like this specific species just because it's kind of almost see-through. It's like translucent. It has like a shimmer to it. It's really cool. A lot of times you'll see them on like ledges and just deep reefs. They're gorgeous in the wild, and they're gorgeous in our reef tanks, you know, with the UV light and the fluorescence. They come in green, red, yellows, and just kind of rainbowish colors. The prettier it is, the more expensive you're gonna run into. But I mean, yeah, super gorgeous, super unique. They're definitely a showstopper in any reef aquarium.
Yeah, they're really, really cool. How difficult are they to care for, would you say?
So I'd say moderate. They definitely like a lot of food, meaty foods, like, you know, mysis, shrimp, and even like krill, depending on like the size of the coral. But they love to eat. They'll open right up and you'll see their tentacles come out for some mysis, shrimp, or even some like pellets. But yeah, a lot of people put them on their sand bed, but they do not come from like sand for the most part. A lot of the Cinerinas you're going to find on actual ledges, like on the rock. So like a lot of people, when they get them, like they have flat bottoms, but that's simply because they've been, you know, cut off the substrate or the rock that they were on.
Right.
But you may get some that have like cone bottoms, and those are usually the ones that are growing in the sand. So just keep that in mind when you're placing, you know, Cinerinas and other button corals.
Awesome. So Levi, I was looking through old photos of my reef tank the other day, and I came across this photo right here. Let me put this up. So do you see that at the very top there?
Toadstool.
Little tiny toadstool leather coral. So that is the same toadstool that is in my tank today.
No, it's not. Is it really?
It's the same exact one. So this picture is from 2012.
Wow.
So the toadstool in the tank is 12 years old.
And that's the one that's like on more of the left side of the tank, right? Like not the greenish one, but like the in the middle, I believe, actually.
Yeah, it's like middle. It's middle to the right now. So it's more of the pinkish purple.
Yeah. One. Yep.
But yeah.
Wow.
Had that guy 12 years.
It's insane.
Yeah, and this isn't even like the first picture of it, because I had it when it was probably the size of a quarter.
Wow.
So, but yeah, just going through old pictures the other day, and I came across that. And I also came across, this is the old 75-gallon tank here. This is probably middle stages of its life, probably year one or so. Because, the Monopora there on the left, that thing grew to like two dinner plate sizes. Like it was huge by the time I broke this one down and moved to that where we are now, moved to a different location. But yeah, so I mean, if you are struggling with your reef tank, these things take time. So you got to have some patience in the hobby as far as learning your parameters, learning what kind of corals do well in your system, and just learning how to make your system stable over time. It takes some time to learn all that. And plus, it's going to take time for your corals to grow as well.
Yeah. And every tank's different in its own way. Yeah. Strange to say, but it really is.
Yeah, it really, really is. And another thing that I came across, or another thing that I really like about this hobby, is that, all right, so we have these algae turf scrubbers, right? We have things like this. But if you really reverse engineer this, or break it down to its simplest form, a lot of these things in the hobby, we can DIY ourselves. It's just a matter of wanting to, right?
Yeah.
So years ago, I did my own version of an algae scrubber. And let's see, I know I have a picture somewhere. Oh, there's my old protein skimmer.
Nice.
Look at that. I just had a maxi jet in the side there. But yeah.
Job done.
Oh, here's an example of Cato algae.
Yep.
Totally didn't mention that earlier, but let me get to, here's my algae scrubber. So this is as simple as you can build one of these, and it works great. You can see this is the beginning stages of it on the mesh screen here. It's already starting to work.
Yeah.
But really simple. All you need is some PVC pipe, and you're going to cut like a groove out of your bar there. You're going to build like an L shape, and then you're going to have like a little valve there to work your flow. And then at the bottom, you just put a maxi jet pump to pump the water up your PVC pipe, zip tie your screen on it. You're going to rough up the screen a little bit so it has rough edges. Mm-hmm. And then you can get just like a swirl bulb, or now even the red lights that are in the correct light spectrum for that. But you can set up your lights on it how you want. Run it opposite light cycle like we've been talking about. And there you go. There's an inexpensive algae scrubber.
Yeah.
And you're not spending hundreds of dollars buying a professionally built one.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's a lot of things in this hobby that can save you money. You don't always have to buy the latest and greatest or nicest piece of equipment. So that's one thing I really appreciate about the hobby.
Yeah. Yeah. There's lots of ways, you know. I've seen people build their own tanks. Mm-hmm. I've seen people build their own reactors, build their own sumps. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in this hobby you can DIY.
Yeah, absolutely. And like with the scrubbers, this is what the algae is going to look like or can look like coming off of your algae scrubber there.
Yeah, I get that in about a week. It's pretty crazy.
About a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one thing we can talk about, right? Is the differences between having a refugium in your sump or an algae reactor or this right here, the turf scrubber, is how often you have to remove the algae from your system.
Yeah. So like me personally, it's about every week, maybe sometimes every other week. It's weird. Sometimes it feels like it's more, maybe there's more nutrients in the system and the algae grows a little faster. But I do also realize, so I dose some iron, just a little bit, not too much. I got this, like, it's a little kind of dropper thing. Drop some iron in there because, I mean, as the algae is growing, algae uses iron to grow as well. You know, that's where it gets a lot of its green color and stuff. So, yeah, you want to keep that in mind because, like, if you think your algae is not doing good or your chato's kind of, you know, like slowly dying off and not growing like it should, it could be an iron deficiency. I get that a lot. People send me pictures of the refugium saying, hey, like I got light, like, my chato's not growing. Do I not have any nutrients? I'm like, yeah, it could be that, or it could be the fact that you don't have any iron and absorb just about all the iron in your system. So yeah, there's ways you can go about that. There's a lot of different companies that have iron dosing products that will help keep your algae happy. So
yeah, that is a good point to mention. And another thing when growing algae in your aquarium, especially like Kato or Chato, you can use that to kind of feed certain fish, right? Certain fish are going to eat some of these algae. So you get a constant supply of fish food as you are growing these algae. And another cool thing about having a sump and having algae down there is that you can support other organisms, right? You can have copepods and amphipods grow down there. And then when you harvest that algae out of your tank, you're physically removing those nitrates and phosphates. You're physically taking that out of your tank. And then they're going to absorb more and it's going to grow back. So it's this constant loop of filtration, natural filtration for your reef tank, whether you're using a sump, a reactor, or a turf scrubber. But let us know in the comments below what type of algae filtration you're using on your reef tank, if you are, or let us know which one is more appealing for you or which one you think you're going to use in the future in your tanks down in the comments below. But another, so Levi, with your scrubber, are you seeing copepods and amphipods in there that you're shaking off? Okay.
Yeah, I try to shake them off of the sump the best as I can. Some of them might end up in the trash, but I do try to, you know, get them out and throw them in the tank for the fish to eat. But
yeah, for sure. This is what my sump's looking like. I have to get in there and harvest some of that out of there, but that's all you need. Just a simple light right there. Get the correct spectrum on there. I believe I got this light off of Amazon, so I'll try and link that up in the description below so you can check out what kind of bulb I'm using over my sump. And we'll put what kind of algae turf scrubber Levi's using as well. We'll link it down in the description below if you want to check those out. And yeah, if you want to check out more on using algae for your filtration, highly recommend you checking out the Clean Green Filtration Machines article by Jim Aldenberg. I believe I'm saying his name correctly, but it's over there, Reef Hobbyist. And they're not a sponsor in any way. I just like reading Reef Hobbyist magazine. But yeah, go check that out. Let me see if I can get the issue number. It's the issue that says stained glass chalice on the front. First quarter 2024, volume 18. So go ahead and check out that article. But thank you so much for checking out this episode of the Coral Reef Talk podcast. If you have an algae scrubber, let us know about it in the comments below. And if you liked the episode today, be sure to hit that like button. Give us a thumbs up. And be sure you're subscribed to the Coral Reef Talk for more episodes just like this. And we will catch you in the next one.
See ya.